Well, let me pray for us, and then I'm going to read from verse 14 of this chapter. Father, would you show us King Jesus here on the pages of your word? As we've just sung, we believe your word is true. And so by your spirit, open our hearts to you this evening. Amen. At Romans 10, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ, word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I'll make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Why doesn't God make himself clearer? Or more obvious? Hear these words. I would believe God is real if the stars rearranged themselves to spell a different Bible verse each night. Or if the tree in my garden started growing Bibles instead of apples. So said the physicist Lawrence Krauss. Now, he's being a bit absurd and disingenuous, writing in the stars, and books growing from trees in his garden probably wouldn't bring him to faith. And yet, do you sympathise? Can you empathise with him? Who hasn't felt like they're not sure if God is really there? Who hasn't wondered like that? Why it is that God seems silent so much of the time? Well, these are good questions to raise as we have this part of Romans 10 open in front of us. Here we're going to see how God delights to be known, how God makes himself known, even through the testimony of stars and apple trees, as we'll see later on. Here's my summary for this. Romans 10 is about how people calling on the Lord is beautiful. And so God broadcasts his good news everywhere, and he is ready for people to turn to him. The first part of that then for us is this. People calling on the Lord is beautiful, God says. Have a look at verses 14 and 15 to see this. Let me ask you a question. What's beautiful in Christianity? Well, the book in your hands says this. The Bible tells of women who are beautiful, of tents and robes and treasures and inheritance and cities and mountains and lands that are beautiful, of everything being beautiful in its time, of beautiful animals and jewelry, of a woman beautifully preparing Jesus for his burial, and of Jesus' beautiful bride, that is, the church. And here Paul quotes the Jewish prophet Isaiah saying that people who tell other people about Jesus have beautiful feet. It's slightly strange language, isn't it? Beautiful feet, not beautiful lips or beautiful tongues that say words, but feet, which highlights movement, doesn't it? That this is news that comes from beyond us. It travels to us. This is good news from God brought to us. And its approach is desirable because it tells of the life-giving reign and rescue of King Jesus. As we heard in Isaiah 52, beautiful feet that proclaim, your God reigns, he's the king. And it's that that forms the solid ground under God's promises in verses 12 and 13 that we looked at last week. There God promised that everyone and anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved by the Lord. It's inclusion on a divine scale. God's rich welcome that means that no one is beyond his help, so that no one is ever beyond God's reach. And here it's as if the dominoes have been perfectly set up. One small nudge and they'll cascade over, one knocking into the next and the next and the next. And you see that in verse 14. Now, people only get to call on the Lord because they believe in the Lord. They only get to believe because they hear. And they only hear because someone speaks. And I think if I'd written this paragraph, I'd have probably left it there. Just verse 14, that seems to be enough, doesn't it? And yet God here goes a step further in verse 15 and tells us that beautiful-footed messengers come from God because God sends them. He commissions them and he commends them. Now, our culture doesn't really think that Christian evangelism is a good thing. Private Christian faith is okay in 21st century Britain. But if you want to go public and tell people about Jesus, well, that's where things start to get frowned on, isn't it? Yet God says, beautiful. God says, beautiful. For God, it is not oppressive to tell people about Jesus, nor is it the miserable duty of Christians to do that. The triune God is on the front foot and wants to give his saving help to anyone and to everyone who will have him. So full of amazing grace, as I hope we've seen in these chapters this term, he wants people to speak his good news. His heart overflows, his face is beaming with a smile, and the Christian is God's ambassador, the town crier, the herald of good news. And that means that at Christmas, the Christian isn't the wet blanket or the religious Scrooge in the room. No, sisters and brothers here, you bring good news. And God says that's beautiful. We might ask, why isn't God more obvious? And you might think he isn't. But here in his own words, he loves it when his people go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. So think of your stumbling attempt to share your faith with a friend, a neighbor, a colleague, a family member. You're faltering. Would you like to come to a carol service at my church next weekend? And that moment where you're tempted to apologize for imposing on people with this and to feel ashamed for fumbling your words. Know that God values what you say. He says you did a beautiful thing. He says you did a beautiful thing. Here's the second thing. Because it's beautiful for people to bring good news, so God broadcast his good news everywhere. Have a look down at verses 16 to 18 to see this. It's beautiful when people are told about Jesus, and yet Paul tells us in verse 16 that not all of his own people, the Israelites, not all of them have accepted the good news from those beautiful-footed messengers who've come to them. He gives us Isaiah's question, who has believed? In verse 17, faith comes by hearing the message that's through the word about Christ. But verse 18, did they not hear? Well, the only thing to say is, of course they did. Back at the beginning of Romans chapter 9, 6 weeks or so ago for us here, Paul listed the ways that God had made himself known to Old Testament Israel. They'd had the law and the covenants and the temple. They'd heard a lot. And that put them in a very different situation to very many people today, didn't it? Very many people today simply have never heard the good news of Jesus. The situation we find ourselves in is much more like first century Spain that Paul, in writing this letter, was on his way to go to. He knew that people there had not heard of Jesus. And so he wrote to the church in Rome, wanting their partnership and their help in going to tell people there. People haven't knowingly rejected Jesus. That motivated Paul to go to Spain to tell people there about Jesus. And then Paul says, God has a second book through which he speaks, his creation. Here in verse 18, he quotes from the 19th Psalm. Do you notice that? The voice going out in all the earth. Psalm 19 tells of how the heavens declare the glory of God. It tells us that these beautiful-footed messengers, human beings speaking the good news of Jesus get joined by God's heavenly messengers. Psalm 19 opens telling us that the sun walks through the sky like a bridegroom going to his wedding. And from that, so creation proclaims God's good news. Yet, when through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, well, all too often I don't cry out, "My Saviour God, how great thou art." It's strange, isn't it? We know more than ever about the universe, and yet silence God's voice. As our forefathers would have looked up at the night sky, it would have told them stories that enthralled them. And we know far more of its mechanics and its detail, and yet we look up and see only the cold, quiet vacuum of space. What if God intends for us to hear more? What if creation is created? What if we wonder because it was made wonderful? It's not unusual to find a Christian who is confident about the Bible and yet finds the universe problematic. Perhaps with questions about its age or its properties or other things. We can feel like we're playing away from home, or we're trying to kick the ball with the wrong foot. And yet, as one hymn writer has put it, "This is my Father's world." Every human being is made in the image of God. We all live in God's universe. So that means the Christian plays at home. Even if the crowd can be hostile, the Christian can know that creation is on our side, because this is our Father's world. I wonder if perhaps our view of this world has become disenchanted. C.S. Lewis, in his Narnia books, wasn't really writing an allegory of the Christian faith. Those books are more intended to help us believe again in a meaning-drenched universe. In the foreword to The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, he writes to Lucy, the young girl, fearing that by the time he'd finished writing this, she would have outgrown fairy tales. And yet he expresses how he hoped that one day she would be old enough again to enjoy them. With stories of fawns and badgers and lampposts in the woods, he wanted to awaken a childlike wonder and play in people. He knew that we get grown up and serious. And when we do that, we put the universe on mute. Consider the practice of the 18th century Christian pastor Jonathan Edwards. He would spend time outdoors exploring the world, looking for images of divine things in creation. He went out and he studied spiders and bloodied wounds and shadows, looking for echoes of the gospel. Not to mention, as Lawrence Krauss should perhaps note, stars. Stars as bright lights shining in the darkness. Stars that, according to Genesis 1, are godlike, ruling in the heavens. Stars that sacrificially burn themselves out to give life to those on whom they shine. Stars that warm the birds and make them sing as the dawn comes. Stars that are like the sunshine of the gospel that makes Christians sing. And as for trees, we'll see the tree of life, see dead wood that gets cut down, see forbidden fruit and good fruit and shoots and branches from which promised life comes. See men walking around like trees, and trees that are for the healing of the nations, and see the Son of God hung on a tree, cursed for the life of the world. Jonathan Edwards said that he expected to be described as having a fruitful brain. And yet, his life and his faith were richer for studying both Scripture and God's creation. I wonder, do you need to listen more attentively to God's world? And to let the sweet song of the gospel be amplified through the loudspeakers of God's creation? What do we find here in Romans 10? We see this, that there is no lack of willingness on God's part to be known. And there is no lack of availability from God either. You can find him in the pages of the Bible and in the pages of his creation. He's there to be known. Perhaps one more thing we should say here before we turn on to verses 19 to 21. Some people are especially concerned about particular people groups who have not yet heard of Jesus and therefore seem to lack the opportunity to be saved by God. Well, what can we say? Psalm 19 says people do have more opportunity than we realize. Israel's history tells us tragically that people can hear a lot and still not be saved. But with those two things being said, above all, hear this, that the God who says that those who go as messengers of good news have beautiful feet. And so if your conscience is troubled about a particular people group, people who don't know about Jesus, well then, firstly, you can go and tell them. Even if tonight is the first time you've heard of Jesus, well, take what you've heard and go and tell people. Secondly, you can support others to go. As we try to do as a church, as we've prayed for mission partners even this evening. And thirdly, like Paul back in Romans 10 verse 1, you can pray that God would save people. 200 years ago, Andrew Fuller said to the father of modern missions, William Carey, "If you will go, I will hold the rope. If you will go, I will hold the rope." You can be Carey or you can be Fuller. But there are things we can do. There are things that God would call us to do. And we can know that God's desire is to be known by people. That's what drives the church to go locally to tell people about Jesus, to go nationally to do that, and to go globally. We're not building our brand. We're not trying to push our agenda. We're not forcing anyone to agree with us. All we know is this: God wants to be known. And he uses his people to be known. So that's two things this evening. Here's the third thing. God stands ready for people to turn to him. God stands ready for people to turn to him. Have a look at verses 19 to 21 to see that. Jesus tells of how someone finds treasure buried in a field. They didn't set out to find it, but there it is. And that's something of how Isaiah 65 puts it, as Paul quotes it in verse 20. God gets found by people who did not seek him. God is found by people who did not seek him. He's not the conclusion of man's great quest for discovery. No human triumph achieves knowledge of God. The last thing I was expecting to do in life was to become Christian. And yet, what else could I do when I heard of Jesus? But believe in him, what else could you do? And every Christian, one way or another, looks back and says, if I'm honest, it wasn't that I found him. It was that he found me. People only become Christian because God saves them. There is no other way. God stands ready for people to turn to him. And then Paul quotes Isaiah 65 a second time here in verse 21, the final words of the chapter. There are some people not looking for God and they seem to find him. What of those who've had every reason to believe? Those who have heard much. Paul's friends and family, for whom he has so much sorrow and anguish, as he told us in Romans chapter 9. Well, know this, the Lord searches like a woman turning her home upside down to find a coin. Like a shepherd leaving the 99 to find the one which looks reckless and outrageous unless you're the one. The Lord is the one who stands in the road looking for his wayward child to come home. The Lord climbs the hills to find his dutiful and devout child who just wants him for his money. Or in Isaiah's language, quoted here, "All day long I have held out my hands." All day long, from dawn to dusk, hour after hour, as the clock ticks by, the Lord waits and seeks and holds out his hands. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ nailed to a Roman cross, his arms pinned open. See his hands held out. Hands that are ready to give the richest welcome to those who've betrayed him, those who failed him, those who rejected him. Ready to gather in those who were lost. Ready to celebrate with the choirs of heaven when a sinner repents. And it will only ever be sinners who get in on this. for he holds out his hands, notice, to a disobedient and obstinate people. Some people find the Lord though they weren't even looking for him. Others miss the Lord because they disobey his good news. News that commands them to turn and rely on the death of the Lord Jesus for them. Some people disobey that. Some are obstinate. Some are stubborn. They're stuck in their ways. They refuse to be helped. And avoiding the humiliation of admitting they need to be rescued, they perish. Do you recognize yourself? Is that where you find yourself? That you know who Jesus is? You know his good news? His voice has come to your ears. You understand all there is to understand. You're here this evening. Are you obstinate? Why would you not turn to him even now? What are you hanging on to that keeps you from Christ? What good thing could you possibly choose instead of having Jesus? And whatever that is, don't imagine that now it's too late, that you're too far gone. His hands are held out all day long. So why delay any longer? And you know, these aren't just questions for those coming for the first time to Jesus. 500 years ago, Martin Luther wrote that the whole life of the Christian is repentance. The whole of being Christian is turning back to him. It's easy to be stubborn. It's easy to have a Bible open and to disobey the gospel. Brothers and sisters, is there sin that you're leaving unattended? Things that you know you need help with. Stuff that's like the state of my garage. Went in to get the Christmas tree earlier. Nightmare. Digging through stuff. That's just been shoved out of the way. Out of sight. House doesn't look cluttered, but the garage, not so much. And sin can be like that in our lives, can't it? Like the junk that just piles up in the garage, unsorted, out of sight, and yet, however long you leave it, it never goes and sorts itself out. It just gets worse and worse. And we can get to the point where we'd be utterly embarrassed to ask about getting help with something that should have been sorted out years ago. And yet here is the church, a community of people in need of change helping other people in need of change. Don't be disobedient. Don't be obstinate anymore. Tonight even, find a friend. Find someone and go together to Jesus about whatever it is. His hands are open all day long. So as long as it's today, take the opportunity. Well, what have we said this evening? Or more importantly, what has God said about himself here? Well, if we've grasped anything of the goodness and beauty of Jesus, then know that God loves for us to go and tell people and to support others to do that and to have us pray. And that if we have ears to hear what God is saying, well, then let us listen. Listen to the music of creation, praying that our eyes would be open to see the images of divine things, his fingerprints all over his creation, to know that his creation is on our side. And that if we have any sense of who Jesus is, if we have any sense of hearing what he says here in his word this evening, then let's turn. And let's turn again and again to the Lord who is ready to have us. And know that the only reason there ever is that anyone is not Christian is that they refuse to have Christ. It's not your background. It's not your culture. It's not your behavior. It's not your lack or presence of effort or desire. The only thing that ever keeps anybody from Christ is refusal to be rescued by him. Is seeing his hands held open all day long and saying, I don't want that. And with respect, why on earth would you do that? Look at the Lord Jesus here in his word. Why on earth would you not have him? Know God's fatherly care. Know that he sent his son into his world to die our death. And now he sends men and women into the earth, joining with the heavens in announcing his good news. Know that he's yours if you'll have him. Let me pray for us before we sing. Father, thank you for not leaving us in the dark. Father, that you said, let there be light, and light shone in this world to overcome the darkness. And you say through your gospel, let there be light into the darkness of our hearts, that we might see the glory of the Lord Jesus. So, Father, help those of us who have trusted you to go and tell, to have beautiful feet as we go out into your world this week. Father, would you open our eyes that we might see more of your Son in your word and more of your fingerprints in your creation. And Father, for each and every one of us here, whether we came in here not knowing you or whether we have followed you for many years, grant us repentance. Turn our hearts again to trust in the Lord Jesus, to receive the welcome from his hands held out all day long for us. Break our stubborn hearts. Turn us from our disobedience to obey your gospel that calls us to trust in your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this evening in his wonderful name.